Hello. It's Tuesday evening at 5:32 in California, and this is the National Finance Committee meeting for Pacifica National Radio. I'm really stumbling today. At any rate, it seems that we have enough people on the stream, and so I'm going to ask Aki to take the role.
Okay. Here we go. Christine Abaros, Tom Chase.
Here.
Thank you. Lyndon Foy.
Here.
Thank you. Steve Cooker.
Here.
Thank you. Apo Martin. Apo. Fred Gosmos is here.
Here.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Maida Reason.
I'm here.
Okay. James Sagerton?
Here.
Thank you. Dennis Williams? Michael Woodson?
Here.
Okay, thank you. Stephanie Wells?
Here.
Thank you. And Susan Young?
Here.
Thank you. I'm here. Okay. So we got two. So we have Kong. Thank you, Fred.
Certainly, sir. Can I ask you to read the agenda?
Let's see if I can see the agenda. Not quite sure.
Well, the agenda, as I recall, is that we are just going to be examining the ledgers of three stations that were provided to us last week. And those three stations were WBAI, KPFT, as I recall, and KPFK, as I recall. A. Well, no, KPFA was not provided to us last week.
KPFK.
K, that's what I thought. But I am open to expanding the agenda if there's anybody who wants to put anything else. Oh, Myla, hi. Myla Reason from KPFK.
Thank you, Fred. Yeah, I'd like to offer a motion about...
Point of order.
Go ahead.
Point of order, can the secretary read the agenda first and then sure. Offer a motion to add to the agenda?
Sure. Okay, here you go. So this was the agenda that was sent out. Court order, the roll call we done. Approval of the agenda that we're going to read. Approval of the minutes from September 9th. We were in the middle of doing the KPFK budgets last time, and then we're supposed to continue. And there were two other budgets that were sent by Stephanie, which was WBAI and KPFK. And then any new business that people want to add, there was a issue of, discrepancy in the banking fees that was raised by Lyndon Foy. Then there was a motion that was sent by Steve Pukara about the self-sustaining stations, I think, and then adjourned.
Great.
So that's the open session minute.
Is there any objection to that particular agenda?
Point of information.
Certainly.
So it sounds to me from what Aki just read, that the motion that I would like to introduce that was authored by Steve Kukula. I'm having a problem with your name, Steve.
Kukula.
At any rate, that's already on the agenda. Then I don't need to add it to the agenda. Is that correct? That's my question. It's already on the agenda.
Right. It's on the agenda. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Thank you.
Is there any desire to reorder the agenda? Hearing none, we will start with our first budget. I think that is leftover from last week, and that's the KPFT. Who wants
minutes?
What's that?
Minutes.
Oh yes, minutes. Aki sent out the minutes. Is there any objections to what was sent out in the minutes? I was not actually here last week, so or last meeting. And I want to thank Michael Woodson for doing an excellent job.
I sent some corrections. Will they be included?
Well, if I look at it, usually you have sort of minor things. I always incorporate them. So if you accept the fact that I'll, you know, do whatever the changes you always, make, then that'll be fine.
I sent them in September.
Oh, yeah. Those ones I already incorporated, those minor fixes, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And I'd like the record to show that Serene has joined our meeting as a listener. Okay, Susan, yes.
Yeah, the question I have about the agenda is the next item, I'm sorry, it's not in front of me, the ED report, because I have a few things to ask her.
Oh, I'm thrilled to hear from the ED. One of my favorite people. So yeah. Let's make the ED report next.
Sure. Hey.
Stephanie, you're muted.
Okay. And also, I just wanted to make note as well that Markeisha Van Zandt is here as well.
Welcome, Markeisha.
With the ED report, the IRS Form 990, our California Form 199, and our annual registration fee report for California, and also the New York State Form, the annual filing for charitable organizations, CHARR 500 for fiscal year 23, have all been filed. And all of those documents can be found on pacifica.org. We are still in the process of securing a new audit firm. We have sent out information, requested information for multiple firms. The audit committee is leading this charge. And then if there's information that needs to be sent to them, such as past audits, past taxes, and any other information that they need, what kind of accounting system we use, those kind of things, those have all been forwarded. I believe there's about 5 or 6 firms right now that have requested information. We've had a couple of them that have backed out already just because we're a large organization. I also had another audit firm reach out to me today, so I will be sending that information to them. Again, we're hoping that to save time and money, our preference for the new audit firm is to conduct a combined audit for fiscal years 22 and 23. That was per the prior firm's guidance. And they also did not want to start the audit until our taxes had been finalized. So all of our taxes have been finalized and the necessary documentation for the audits has been prepared. So once the audit firm gets the information once our audit committee gets all the information and MOUs, or not MOUs, but letters of intent or their proposals to providing services, and they make that decision and then give it to the national board to make that determination, will be up and ready to go. One thing that's not maybe necessarily with finance, but it is beneficial to our stations and increasing their listenership and their engagement within the communities, is that our KPFT and WPFW apps for both Android and Apple have both been successfully launched. We are now working, we're in the final test phases for Pacifica podcast app, which is basically will be highlights from all of the stations and from our Pacifica caster site. That's just, again, right now in a testing mode. And then they'll be working, the person that's building the apps for us is then also working on KPFK and WBAI. And then also ultimately working on an archive app that just kind of doing highlights from some of our archives. KPFA has an app already, so that's that was launched a little while ago. So please, by all means, go to your app stores and take a look and download the KPFT and the WPFW app, as well as the KPFA app. One of the things that's kind of interesting is after the first month that the KPFT app was made, we had some great metrics and analysis that we were able to pull from the app stores. There were approximately within just that first month over 9,250 times the KPFT T app was visited. This is showing that it has a strong visibility signal and that its presence is actually effectively getting noticed. There were first-time downloads of 813, and it was opened and used over 3,400 times. So it's great that it's showing app loyalty and that our users are returning to it on a regular basis. So we'll be able to get those stats soon for WPFW, and then we'll continue to provide the updates for the other apps as we get those. One of the things that is also great is that Otis McClay has completed our new online staff directory. It is currently being tested by a few staff members, but it is really at this point by staff members and some programmers, but it's scheduled to be rolled out very, very shortly. And what it's going to be is that all staff, both paid and volunteer, will be required to register in the directory, and the system will include contact information, job titles, role descriptions, and where they're located. And what it's going to allow us to do is to be able to generate emails to all of our staff or to targeted groups. For example, people can go in and just do a mail to just the news teams or just the membership departments. And so that'll be it'll be great to be able to have those targeted email groups. And then we're also going to be being able to upload training modules to the site or links to any trainings that have to happen. And then the staff can then upload certificates to verify completed trainings. So it'll be wonderful as we continue with FCC trainings for the sponsorship. And then we're also going to be rolling out some training on political programming pretty soon. So it'll be a nice way to be able to keep track of who's taking it and who we need to remind to take it. It's also going to serve as a time card tool for our volunteers and our programmers. And the time card aspect of it will be accessible from both computers and mobile devices. And so it's very simple to log hours, and this will be able to provide us verified records of volunteer activity, which is not only important for eligibility to vote in the upcoming 2026 Pacifica elections, but even more importantly, it allows us to track the total number of volunteer hours. And under the Financial Accounting Standards Board, or the FASB and IRS guidelines, donated services can be recognized as in-kind contributions if they are specialized professional services, for example, programming, graphic design, or accounting that we would otherwise have to pay for. So, and just as an FYI, sort of general volunteer tasks, albeit important, such as answering phones, staffing events, or assisting with mailings, are not always can be recorded as in-kind donations on financial statements as per IRS guidelines, because in a lot of nonprofits, those are done by volunteers anyway. However, even if something is not eligible as in-kind, tracking our volunteer hours also remains important for volunteering, again, tracking those hours for the elections. And it's also just a best practice when we have grant applications in demonstrating our community support. So this has been a great project, and we are very happy and anxious to have that rolled out. Do you want me to continue or take questions now?
I'm totally welcome to take questions. I did wonder, though, before we go to that question, will Markeisha also be making a report?
She'll be, if she wants to, she can, but she wasn't planning on it. She's okay. Here to really help us go through a lot of the financials.
Well, Suzanne and Arpal both have hands up, and I'm going to put my hand up as well.
Why doesn't Arpal go first?
Oh, please. Arpal? Paul?
Okay, yeah. All right. Now, regarding all of this information you're going to put up about staff for the world to look at, how much contact information is there? These are interesting times, and if you put too much information out there for the public, it can get dicey. You could have people showing up at your front door, or bombarding your telephone or something like that. So how much information is going to be given to the public about us?
None. It's an online staff directory for internal use only.
Which means that they only worry about your fellow staff members sharing that.
Correct.
All couple thousand of them or so, or 900, all 900 at five different stations. And oh boy.
Is that a question, Paul?
Well, yeah, all 900
It's quite important and imperative that we keep track of who our volunteers are in case of any sort of emergency for information that we need to roll out, just so we have track of who actually is working for us. And we don't really have any way to keep track of that at this point. And we often will have programmers who will hire volunteer programmers or volunteer program producer that will hire additional producers that then they hire additional producers. And then before we know it, there's 15, 20, 30 people working on one program. And we want to make sure that we know who everyone is that is working for us so we can make sure that we get them the trainings that they need. If they have information, they can give that information to us. And, you know, if they have questions, they can contact us and we can track those volunteer hours, which are so vitally important.
All right. Thank you. Hope privacy doesn't get wrecked here.
Susie Young.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I've got three first. One, would you explain, because I think we need to repeat it as often as we can, the difference between charitable, our suspension as a charitable organization for the AG and our continuing tax exemption with the IRS, our efforts to find more bookkeeping services that were publicized through the audit committee. And then also a little bit about your visits to the stations, building up the, you know, the donor databases, consolidating, the financial information, making changes in the banking. Could you address those?
Yes. Those are going to, I was going to continue with my ED report, but before I went further, that's why I asked if we wanted any questions, but, yes, because
you may already been going to cover those. Sorry.
I was going to cover it, but that's fine. Because that we are delayed in the filing of our audit for fiscal year 22, we do have a suspended status with the Attorney General's Registry of Charitable Trusts. As with any nonprofit, we keep in contact with the Attorney General's office on a regular basis. When we engage an audit firm, I send a letter off to the Attorney General's office to let them know we've engaged an audit firm and where we are in the process. The tick over is when you miss one of those deadlines, such as with the audit, it automatically gets ticked into suspended status. We remain in good standing with the State Secretary of State, California Secretary of State, because we have filed our statement of information, which we do on a regular basis. We are in good standing with the Franchise Tax Board, which you move into bad standing if you have a failure to file tax returns, pay taxes, penalties, or interest. We are not behind in any of those. So we are not, our nonprofit status is not at risk at all, but the current suspended status is limited to the Attorney General's Registry of Charitable Trusts. As I said, when we engaged with our prior firm, we knew that the audit would be delayed, so we sent a letter to the registry explaining that we had retained an audit firm. We sent them a copy of that engagement letter and let them know we were in the process of completing our taxes and audits. After the taxes were filed, I had a letter ready to go, letting them know that we had planned to, we were sending them a letter letting them know where we were in the audit process. But since the, and usually that also comes with a letter from the auditor's firm confirming that they're starting that process. With the firm's withdrawal, I did not feel that it was ethically okay to send that letter off anyway, because the firm had withdrawn just the night actually before we were going to send off that letter. But what I have done is sent a new letter explaining the circumstances to the California Registry of Charitable Trusts, explaining the circumstances and confirming that we are actively seeking a new firm. Once the auditing firm is engaged, as I said, that's happening through the audit committee. Once they select someone, it will then go to the PNB. Their engagement letter will then also be sent to the registry to demonstrate that we are working on the continuation of the auditing process. The registry has given us the Attorney General's Registry of Charitable Trusts has confirmed with us that we have 1 year to complete the 2022 year audit, the 2022 audit. And then at that point, they will remove that suspension notice that's listed there. That's why one of the things we're trying to do as well is to combine both fiscal years 22 and 23. So even though I don't like seeing that suspended up there, but again, the registry, they are completely informed of everything that we're doing and that we're doing everything under our power to be able to move forward with our audit. And Pacifica, sadly enough, experienced a similar suspended status, a continuous status from 2013 through 2019. And so again, while it's not an ideal situation, it is one that we have successfully resolved before. It is something that we have again informed the Secretary of State of what we are doing and that we are taking all the necessary steps to resolve it again quickly. We're doing what we can with what we have.
Great. And I want to remind everybody that this reason that we're behind schedule is because of people who actually claim to be Pacifica supporters filing a report with the audit firm accusing them of malfeasance, basically. I had a question. You said that KPFA has its own app. Does WBA have its own app?
No, we're working on the next ones to build out. We're WBAI, WBAI and KPFK. KPFT was already in the process of starting theirs. And so we continue to move forward. And then the person that's building those, we agreed to continue with his services. And then he did WPFW next and then the Pacifica podcast. And so he knows what he needs to build. I don't know how he chooses which ones to choose, but, I know that he's doing WBAI. All of them will have apps at some point.
I just want to say how ashamed it is that WBAI doesn't, because WBAI is working with the affiliates to cover No King's Day. And this is a national issue that really we want to be all over. Are we going to be all over that issue, and will that coverage be picked up by KPFA or KPFT?
Yes, we have an entire day that's planned, a live Pacifica coverage on October 18th, which is No King's Day, and it's going to be live coverage of demonstrations across the country, including Alaska and Hawaii, and it will be starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's going to be streaming throughout AudioPort all day, and then all the recordings will be posted also in AudioPort. So we're going to have live coverage of the demonstrations, and again, starting on the East Coast and then moving with different affiliates. We have approximately, I believe, 48 or 50 affiliate reporters on the ground that will be reporting on behalf of Pacifica. They've all signed agreements with us. We'll be giving them press passes, those kind of things. And again, it will start in the East Coast, travel to the Midwest, the mountain region, and then end up in Portland. And then we're also going to, as I said, be having coverage from Alaska and Hawaii. So from 11 to noon, the introductory hour is going to be anchored at WBAI. Jenna Flanagan is going to be hosting from noon until 2 on Eastern. We'll have commentary and then on the ground reports from the Eastern time zone and then live feeds from Philly and DC. Jenna Flanagan will still be hosting that as well. From 1 to 3 Central Time, we'll be reporting from WORT in Madison, Wisconsin. We'll have commentary and on the ground reports from our Central time zone with live feeds coming from Chicago, and our host will be Norman Stockwell. From 2 to 3 p.m. Mountain Time, we'll be reporting from Rocky Mountain Community Radio and also KGNU in Boulder, Colorado. And we will have on-the-ground reports and commentary from the Mountain Time Zone with Maeve Conran hosting. From 2 to 4 p.m., we'll be having KBOO reporting from Portland, Oregon, with commentary on the ground and, again, reports from the Pacific time zone with Althea Billings hosting. And we're going to be, again, having live feeds that are coming throughout 40, different stations. All of the stations will be picking up a portion of it. We'll be providing commentary and input as well. KPFK is having a an event that evening, Saturday evening with Tom Hartman. So they're going to be kind of segueing straight from using that feed all day into their Tom Hartman event, which is a fundraising event. And WPFW will also be providing commentary throughout the day, but they're in the midst of fundraising on that day. And they had some other events that were planned, including a celebration and anniversary of the Million Man March, but they will also be cutting in and using those feeds throughout the day. So it's, again, not only the live feed, but then being able to pull snippets of the recordings from different communities on AudioPort. We discussed these things at great length at our regularly scheduled manager and directors meeting. So we started planning this, again, with the major support of Ursula through the affiliates and Bob at WBAI quite a few months ago. And then we have a live or national news team we have a representative from each of the stations and some of our affiliates, and they meet weekly to discuss compiling national news feeds or national or stories from all the different our affiliates and our main stations, and then putting that on AudioPort, and those are available. So again, these are things that all of the stations are participating in. We're also having trainings for the reporters that we're asking to do this. Again, not only do we have an agreement that they've all signed, we're actually going to be giving the reporters a small stipend for being a part of this project, courtesy of a $50,000 grant that was received through the leadership and the connections, actually, of Bob Henley and WBAI. So we'll be able to use a lot of that to pay for the extra staff time, particularly with the affiliate staff that's doing a lot of this work. And then also we can give small stipends to each of the reporters that are doing work for us. And then we'll also be putting some money aside in case we have any reporters that run into any problems while they're out on the field, whether they're, you know, bail money or, you know, money, medical bills, you know, anything like that. So we have put in our agreement with them that we are going to do everything we can on behalf of Pacifica to represent them and support them, since we're asking them to go out on the field. But we're doing two trainings this week for our reporters. One is the do's and don'ts for reporters, a training session led by Norman Siegel, and it's keeping our people safe in dangerous times. And then also a reporter safety training and final check-in with Lisa Loving, who is the person that is being paid by the national office to basically be the coordinator for anything that's dealing with Pacifica National News. So again, tune into your stations, check websites for the coverage that's happening in your area.
Thank you. James Hager, can you have your hand up? And you're muted.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. Stephen, I have three questions. One is, you mentioned, you know, one staff person, quote unquote, hires another staff person, and pretty soon you have 30 people working on a show. And I assume there you were using the term staff in the Pacifica sense of staff, as in volunteers working on a show, not paid staff people. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Got it. Okay. And second, you mentioned the correspondence between the California Attorney General's office. I think sometimes you're mentioning phone conversations, but I'm not sure. Is it possible for us to see that correspondence at some point?
Yes.
Wonderful. And then finally, was just mentioned about a person being responsible for the auditor's withdrawing. And I think in the letter from the auditor, there was mention of failure of Pacifica to provide the information needed to do the audit. And then also the mention of the individual, which came second in that letter. So were the tax forms, the New York form and the CA forms, the 990s, was that the information that they felt was not being provided?
No, we were informed by the auditing firm that they would start the audit once the taxes were completed. So while they were completing the taxes, we were compiling all the information that was needed for the audits. And that checklist has been sent, so I can send it again, but it's a very lengthy checklist. It's about 10 or 15 pages that I've shared with the PNB and also this committee quite often. It's just to kind of the scope of work that needs to go into it. So their team focuses on the taxes. And then once, and while they're focusing, and we provided them with the information for the taxes quite a long time ago. So they did the 2022s, the 2023s. The next day, everything was scheduled to send to them all of that information from that checklist to begin the audit for 2022 and 2023. That evening, they sent us the letter saying that they were stopping. So even though they said in there that nothing was provided, everything was provided for the taxes since those were completed. And everything was ready to be sent to them for the audit. One of the things, though, as well, is that because they had not begun the audit yet, they were to start that on September 3rd. We're not being charged for any work that they've done on the audits because the audit had not started yet. That was to be started on September 3rd. And so we had to pay them for the taxes.
That checklist was, in a prior year, that was the infamous 400 items that were left open. That's the same checklist.
I don't know if it's the same checklist, but I'm sure
it's an auditor's checklist, and it's the same auditor, so I assume that's where it is. Thank you.
Okay. Can we move the agenda? I see no other hands. Oh, Myla, I see your hand. My apologies. For some reason, the color in the upper left hand corner is the same, similar to your hand. Anyway, my apologies. Myla.
I take no offense, Mr. Chair. Stephanie, I've got a couple of questions, and this is so exciting, what you're talking about. I was very happy to hear that Norm Stockwell, great, great writer and publisher, will be one of the contributors for the No King's Day coverage. At the last meeting of Progressives, Democrats of America, our former national, I think he was national news director, but he was our program director at KPFK for 8 years, Alan Minsky, announced that he had been asked by KPFK to report from downtown Los Angeles during No King's Day. And I'm wondering, I didn't hear his name mentioned, and I'm wondering whether he will be pulled in, because you said that KPFK is going to be using the coverage for No King's Day. Will you be aside from the names that you announced, I am assuming that Alan may be one of the reporters who is called upon during the day.
Yes, you are correct. We have well over, I think at this point, it's about 48 reporters on the ground, but the names that I mentioned are the hosts for those 2 hour blocks. Right.
Gotcha.
And then everything will be fed. I don't know the technicalities of radio, but everything is basically coming as a feed from WBAI. So everything's going to them, and then the live feed is coming out. But I know that KPFK, we're staffing it with board operators that can handle an entire day of live feeds and cutting in and out where they need to. But Alan will be a part of that, yes.
Well, I really appreciate this effort. It seems like monumental and very important. I also have a question about the apps. And that sounds like just so important, for 2025, going forward, that we have developed these apps. And I'm wondering if you have any or can provide any, more detailed information about the features. And in particular, I am curious about whether the apps will have features that allow people not only to listen to the live stream, but also to access archival podcasts or shows that are pre-recorded. For example, you know, one of the things that I'm particularly interested in is the fact that the show that I co-host has now been relegated to simply an online show available on the KPFK website. And I'm hoping that this app might be a way of people finding our show. If so, I don't know if you know about the detailed features of these apps, but I'm particularly interested in learning what those features are.
I would recommend downloading KPFK and WPFW and the apps are all, once he created KPFT, then he just kind of mirrors it for the next and then mirrors it for the next, but then makes it specific. And the general managers and the program directors are very involved in that final testing phase of it, including getting good pictures of our hosts because some of them are low quality, low res, blah, blah, blah. But I would suggest just downloading those two apps or even just one of them if you want, but I suggest doing both, including KPFA. But the designer is the, that did KPFT and WPFW will be doing the rest of the stations. Okay. And then that can give you a better understanding of how they work.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Thomas Chase, I see your hand is up, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to, also recommend you download the WPFW app. It's fabulous. It has the archive, so you can, I haven't downloaded KPFK, but if they're the same, it's there. People can donate, directly. Pretty much everything that's on the website, is in the app. And the quality is better. It's a great app. Yep. Thanks, Stephanie and the team that put that together.
Yeah, thanks. They're doing a great job. Thank you.
Really, really appreciate that. I see both Susan Young and Thomas Egerton's hands are up. I'm assuming those are legacy hands.
No, mine
okay,
is
Susan,
mine is,
your
hands
is
still.
Person.
So I apologize.
No, mine is not a legacy either. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Stephanie, if you already addressed this, but you made those critical visits to WPFW and WBAI. Can you
yes.
tell? And that, I think, is the start of going to all of the stations. You took Markeisha and Anya with you.
Yes, I'll be very quick with this.
Discuss
yes.
a little bit about. Yeah.
Markeisha and myself conducted site visits to WPFW and WBAI. We were there from September 14th to September 20th, and it was to engage with staff and programmers. We were also joined by Anya Lovest, who we've brought in to help as a pre-election consultant. She's an expert with donor databases, and so she was working with the station staff that deals with the membership and our databases to help the stations create and maintain clean staff and programmer lists in order to prep for the 2026 Pacifica election so we don't have to have our national election supervisor, whomever that may be, deal with having to clean a lot of lists. So we want to get that started early. So the objective of our visit was to also initiate the centralization of financial responsibilities. So Markeisha was there to meet with staff who handle donations and billings. We also met with a membership staff so we could evaluate, as I said, the current donor database to identify what's working, what needs improvement, and how the national office can assist in maintaining accurate lists prior to the elections. One of the things that we're doing is that the membership departments are now will begin providing new updated membership lists on a monthly basis so we can do that cleanup process efficiently rather than tons of lists all at one time. We also met with our local union representatives to discuss any sort of current concerns, upcoming contract negotiations and healthcare because we're entering into open enrollment and we want to make sure that the health benefits that are being offered and provided for the staff are meeting the needs with our unions. We also engaged with some local sponsors and underwriters and partners and major donors, not only just for in-person stewardship and cultivation, but to be able to, you know, physically say thank you to many people's face-to-face. And then we met with quite a few of the programmers to discuss the possibility of moving forward with any sort of syndication opportunities, what they would like to be involved with national programming, how is the national office helping, you know, how can we help them with marketing and outreach in order to get their programs on audio port if they're unfamiliar with any of that. So it was a very whirlwind, again, meeting with staff and programmers. And we just want to thank Miyuki, who's the IGM at WPFW, and Bob Henley, the IGM at WBAI, and Keziah Glow, who's the PD at WBAI, for organizing very full days and evenings of very highly productive meetings with staff, and that we are planning additional site visits to other stations in the near future. So we're also looking after meeting with staff and with a lot of the programmers. We want to host an in-person multi-day meeting in early 2026 for our program directors and our affiliate staff, just getting them together in one place. We're looking at most likely hosting that at the affiliate's office to discuss AudioPort, again, national programming, how to share sharing best practices with the program directors, creating a better organizational structure for AudioPort, and then again, the possibility of any syndication opportunities for our programmers. So.
Most excellent. I really, really appreciate the work you're doing on it, creating a national program, because I think a national program will help all of the stations. Mr. Sangerton, your turn.
Thank you, Chair. Stephanie, we were a little surprised, the directors in New York, that you were, you know, kind of in and out on a visit, and we hope next time maybe you'll stop and chat with us for a while. That would be nice. But I also wanted to ask about the King's Day, No King's Day coverage. The information I'm getting, and I'm no expert on this, but it's that Indivisible is sponsoring No King's Day, and that's kind of a Democratic Party organization, or it's affiliated. I'm sure that, I know you're aware of these things. You can assure us that there's no, you know, there hasn't been any money coming from any Democratic Party organizations to do this coverage, and whatever donations we may have gotten for this coverage is strictly as news coverage and not any political connections. I'm sure that's correct, right?
Yes, that is correct. There's been no donations from any sort of political organizations for this. No.
Thank you. I hope to see you next time you're in New York.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, we want to engage as we travel our way through, then with greater, with the volunteers and LSBs and things like that. So we were able to meet with a couple of LSB members at WPFW, but this was really focusing on staff and programmers and membership departments and those kind of things. So, and our, some donors, as again, donors, unions, underwriters, vendors.
As a LSB member in the KPFA area, I need to tell you that I don't feel offended that you are doing your job instead of talking to me. I have no problem with that. We're going to move the agenda. Okay, Myla, please.
Okay, so I just want to quickly say that it's my opinion, the No King's Day effort is really there's a broad support for it across party lines, and it's, I don't believe that it's accurate to characterize it as simply a Democratic Party project. Thank you.
Okay, let's move the agenda. I think the leftovers from last week is what we should probably deal with first. And it's my understanding that that is WBAI. Are you waving at me? Okay, no. Is that correct? Michael Woodson, you would be the one to inform me. Or not?
I'm sorry, what was that?
It's my understanding at the last meeting we did not finish WBAI. Is that correct?
I think
Mr.
we
Chair,
did.
I think we dealt with WPFW and with affiliates.
Okay, so where are we starting now this time? Anybody know?
WBAI.
All right, let's start with the WBAI report. I've read all the reports, and I am actually quite impressed by how we have actually moved this network into a much more sustainable position and a much more professional position. And I really, really think that Bob Henley in New York deserves an enormous amount of credit for it, but not just him. I think everybody across the network is doing really well. Please, who is presenting the WBAI?
yes, I have to admit, I was very confused with many emails that were going back and forth late this afternoon about who's going to be in the, who's being in the meetings, who's not in the meetings. WBAI wanted to still review some of their numbers, even though I have some updated numbers, but I like to give the staff at least like a week or more to be able to review those numbers. And Markeisha and I were able to provide updated numbers to them late last week. So I had asked if we could look at it later, but if want to open it up now, I can, I can open it up. The numbers are a little bit different from what y'all
spent 45 minutes dealing with stuff that's not having to do with our NFC actual responsibility at this particular point. So let's move to the next one. KPFA is also out. So does that take us to KPFK?
KPFK and KPFT.
Okay. So let's, which one of those are we going to deal with first? What's easier to get rid of first?
I mean, I can pull up the, I mean, thanks to Steve, who did a great, sort of breakdown to, and again, since KPFK is in the midst of Fund Drive and some other, issues that they were dealing with, I told Maggie, oh, there's no budget this afternoon or this evening. So she's at the station instead, but I have the, you know, there were no changes that were sent to the budget that was sent out to everybody last week. So I don't know. As I said, Steve did a great drop down or, you know, kind of deep dive into everything.
Great job.
So I know he's part of KPFA, but I'm happy to have him step in with any sort of
Steve, why don't you give us
updates, but I can pull, do you want me to share the screen and get, okay.
You want me to share this one?
And
this
I can share it too, since we'll be going.
Oh, please! I love it.
It might be easier for me to be able to move the screen rather than.
I love that idea. I tried to change somebody's name, like Serene's name, and I couldn't do it. So I don't know that I actually have any host authority at all.
I wasn't prepared to make a presentation, but yeah, I wrote and emailed everybody what, you know, I just reviewed the numbers that were presented and gave my thoughts. I pretty much thought that was the limit of my participation.
So. Yeah, which is great. I'm just meaning if there's anything you want to throw in, that'd be great because you did a deep dive with many of the budgets and I appreciate that. And the same with all the statements, you know, so I appreciate that.
Well, I think there's lots of positives there. Just, you know, don't get, I guess, too focused on any specific number. You see all positive trends across the board but the hole was so deep that, you know, it's unreasonable to expect it to get filled in overnight. And, so I tried to make a balance in presenting it that yes, it's still likely to be a deficit this financial year. But there's all kinds of positive signs that we hadn't seen for years. So, you know, that it's kind of good news, bad news. Good news is it's going in the right direction. Bad news is we have a little ways to go yet.
Kind of a race. You know, the goal's at the end and we're getting there. So that's great.
Correct. Yeah. And again, one of the things to kind of remember as we look at these budgets is that the NFC did a great job this past year sort of reviewing and looking at at finances and discussing budgets throughout the entire year. And I know that's been a goal of the NFC for quite some time. And it wasn't just this past year. They've done that in the years past as well. But I think it was a bit more dedicated this year because, you know, to realize that budgets are a living document and that we are to make adjustments prior to any issues happening rather than looking at it at the end and then going, oh, you know, so again, being proactive, not reactive. So these are this is just a roadmap where we want to go without being too wild, but yet providing goals for the stations to what they can achieve. And kind of on a side note, one of the things that we'll be rolling out with our program directors is actually having some achievable milestones or objectives in their work plan for the year, because there really hasn't been anything with our program directors in the past that they have a dollar amount that they should be responsible for raising, and also listener numbers and bringing that up. So even, you know, just so they can have some sort of sense of responsibility as well with the general managers, that there are certain financial goals and listener numbers that need to be raised. So we raised the listener support is, you know, we have everything here again, the prior year from 22, 23, 24, the projection that was for the end of the year, because this budget was actually, I think, done in August. August, September. So the proposed of what can be raised, we just rose it to 1.1 million. The corporate match, we have had that in the past, but it hasn't always been, I think coded properly or put in the correct place, but they are doing a better outreach as far as, promoting that if you're a donor, please talk to your company about it. So we have a modest $3,000 in there. Major donor income. When you look across here, these two numbers here include bequests. We do not include bequests when we're doing budgeting. So that's why we have a significant lower amount here at 95. KPFK has always done really well with their car donations. So going, you know, projecting out at 43, going into 45 is very realistic. They've had some very successful community events and have a good team of volunteers that are putting together fundraising events. So they felt very comfortable at KPFK to put in this $15,000 for these community events. Grants, they have had some luck in getting some grants this year, as well as you know, a lot of the grants, when you look at some of the past years, again, they weren't quite too sure where to put those grants. So we just thought we'd be stable across the board and keep it at 40. And then sponsorship income, a lot of the income too that was coming in through the music sponsorships, which they get quite a few of, had been put under either major donor income or listener support. So we're really trying to work with the staff to realize that some of that sponsorship income that's coming in needs to be under sponsorship income. And they are rolling out a better underwriting program that they really haven't focused on before. So even though they were projected to reach the 1.4 this year, we're just being very simple and not jump up too far from fiscal year 22 and 2023 of a revenue of 1.3 million.
Can I interrupt for a moment? Everybody on this call, by the way, has this data that I sent literally 3 hours ago to you through the NFC. So if you want to actually look at it on your screen, it's right there available to you.
Right. And it was sent last Tuesday as well.
And I went through it last Tuesday, and I really, really appreciate the work you've done.
Okay. And then all of this is kind of the same personnel costs. So those have remained somewhat consistent. We raised it up a little bit because we're wanting to add KPFK is a very small staff, and they are in desperate need of, we're just kind of trying to figure out some things now, like an operations manager, somebody that just, not really a station manager, but somebody that can kind of help with a lot of that day to day. We have somebody that's in that position now. It's a consultant, and I think he only puts in on paper technically 10 or 15 hours a week, but it's really more so full time. So we're looking to try to increase some of that role of somebody that's dealing with the day-to-day operations. Because one of the things that the general manager and the interim general manager, whomever takes in that position, needs to deal with moving forward is that KPFK needs a permanent home, or at least a bigger space that they can move into, because right now that's only two small offices, and we'll most likely be adding another small office. They have a significant amount of work that needs to be done on the transmitter. They have a transmitter campaign that's going on right now that I believe they have about $25,000 or $45,000 or so in there. And we are having some conversations with major donors just to talk about the future of KPFK and the immediate needs. So there's a lot of work that the general manager, who will be stepping into that role, has to contend with. And so we want to make sure that some of those day-to-day operations and personnel issues and such don't have to constantly burden down the general manager while they're in this change, we're hoping, of growth over the next year. So when we, one of the things too that you'll notice, I mean, all these are broken down below, the personnel costs, the admin expenses, so we can do that as we move down. But the total operating is 1.196, so 1.19 million to 1.2 million. Central services, as you can see, there was an adjustment because in the past it was always budgeted, again, accrual accounting, because KPFK wasn't paying their central services, but it was based upon an old formula. So once the formula of 15% of the total revenue, not including bequests from the year prior or restricted grants, that then brought down those central service payments for KPFK from $440,000 to $173,000. And KPFK has been paying their central services recently, so we're very grateful for that. But what that means is that with the total expenses of 1.3 million and revenue of 1.37, the total expenses including central services of 1.37, then it leaves positive of $2,748. This column right here, that includes again that bequest to, you know, bequest that was up there from the revenue. So we don't, you know, right here. So that's that column. Again, we don't budget bequests. So as we break that down on a more detailed basis, again, proposed slight increase with the salaries because we want to add another position there. All of these pretty much stay the same. Health benefits. Markeisha and I just met with the insurance company this morning to just talk about open enrollment and the information that we need to send out to the employees pretty soon. They're guesstimating that insurance will probably go up this year anywhere between 14.7 to 15.5%. So, you know, again, once we know that, then we can adjust everybody's budget accordingly. Nothing with travel expenses as we go down here. Small with the consultants. And a lot of that is just some filler board operators. And there's also, even though I don't think that would be administrative consultant board ops. No, that would be programming. So I'll have to look up what the details of that is. But one of the things that happens often with consultants and with the stations is that they code everything to an admin consultant when it really needs to be divided up amongst programming and development. Everything else pretty much stays the same with the telephone, the internet, nothing really with postage, no delivery. It used to be pretty high because they were behind in sending out their premiums and would often use delivery services to do that. So we made sure to stop any of that. Legal fees, just if something is specific to a station that the national office will cover the majority of it. But if it is something that is really specific to a station's need, then that will be sent over there. But again, like we didn't even budget anything or we paid for everything last year at the national office. Everything is pretty much the same. Office expenses, we do have rent, which is something that they didn't have before. Rent did go up a little bit this past year. One of the things too, what happens with a lot of the stations that we're renting, they don't realize how much the air conditioning is because we need the air conditioning on 24/7. So often after we've had a year of a lease, the property owner will then usually come back and say, we're increasing it a little bit. So there is just a slight increase with that. Storage rental, there was a grand piano that was at KPFK. So we're storing that in a piano storage facility. And so that's 1 year has gone up. So we're needing to pay another year, a year's worth. And it's going up, I think, $20 for next year. Basic utilities, again, that's kind of an increase in that air conditioning that will be, they'll be charging us for the rent. So our basic total administrative expenses, $166,000. Programming, again, there's a little bit of consultants here, but I'll probably pull some from up top. And again, a lot of that is just board ops, fill-in board ops. Website expenses, again, all of these are just kind of maintenance, 24, it's all kind of basic. Tower rent, 25,000. Utilities at the tower, 60. Total programming costs, 125,000. Development expenses, we have credit card discount fees of 18,000. Postage for any subscriptions, that's with mailers, or if they're, you know, I don't know how many hard copy mailers they do to have people donate, but even if it's just tax letters, those kind of things. Premiums from other vendors, they do purchase some things, a lot of albums if they're doing a highlight of some sort of weeks celebrating Frank Sinatra or something like that. Fund Drive telemarketing, they do have a firm that does help answer the phones if there's no one there to answer the phones during fund drives. Again, any other sort of premium with shipping, so development costs roughly $90,400, and then any sort of community event costs, which often would be neglected when people would hold different community events at $3,000. So again, if we take it back up here, projecting modestly, 1.3 in revenue, 1.3 expenses, pretty much a break-even budget, but that is it.
Let's be optimistic.
And this one, I think, will change a lot. Yeah, and I think this will change a lot throughout the year. I think this is a station that we will need to take a close look at as the National Finance Committee to make sure that everything's on track.
Excellent.
And one thing too, I'm sorry, to take into consideration is that there are a lot of expenses that still need to be paid. So there's an outstanding bill from the old building that we still need to pay down. So that's one thing to kind of, when you look at the cash flow often with the stations, again, because it's accrual accounting, we still have to put into the expense for that month what that bill would be, even if that bill isn't paid, which is hence why we then focus very closely with the general managers with the aged payable reports and with the cash in bank so they know what bills we can pay and what bills we can't pay.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. I see James Haggerton's got his hand up.
Thanks, Fred. Stephanie, I hope the reference to celebrating Frank Sinatra was just a hypothetical.
Yes.
Not really doing that. I do notice that the phone expenses, which I recall a few years back were considered kind of scandalous at KPFK, are still pretty high. What's the situation there with, I remember we had dual phone lines to the tower, which is not a terrible thing, but, you know, one of them was apparently not operable. How's that all going in rationalizing all of that?
Well, hopefully the cost for the 42 will go down because we do have some concerns with two separate phone services that are happening. We do have somebody on staff, one of the consultants that I said is, you know, pretty much working 40 hours, but is really getting paid for 10, and we want to bring him on board and all that. He's doing a deep dive into all of the phone services and into a lot of these expenses. I mean, like a deep, deep dive, and calling the vendors and asking for the contracts and how did we get into this agreement and how can we cancel this agreement. And he's running it by Mo or John or myself. And Markeisha as well is taking a deep dive into a lot of these different groups. So I think that telephone expense will go down. They're not relying so heavily on a call center, I think, as they were before. But then there's also, we have a large credit with AT&T that we're trying to figure out how to. So yeah. So I'm hoping that that number, this 42, will be something that we can look at and then make adjustments as we go forward, because there is still a lot of stuff to unravel there.
I guess it's like turning a battleship around.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, we're really thankful when people do take deep dives into a lot of this, because we have so many contracts and agreements that somebody signed up for something, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. And, you know, we have, just an example, we have too many postage machines or too many copy machines, things that just aren't relevant anymore. And that the machine may not even be at the facility, but there's still bills that are piling up. So, you know, I mean, like the trash, when they moved, they never canceled the trash service until I got a trash bill at the national office stating that they owed pickup from Western Waste Management for the last year. They haven't even been in the building anymore. So it's those kind of things that we're happy when things get brought to our attention, because we were able to tell Western Waste, no, this is when we sold, this is when we moved out, we're not responsible for trash pickup, those kind of things. So,
Fred, if I could just have one more moment for an observation.
Go ahead.
I can remember at times when things like Major Donor and bequests were absolutely forbidden from being included in in budgets. And I heard Stephanie say we don't include that, but there's still 95,000, I think, on that line. And I get it that, you know, major donors, you can average that out, but it seems kind of high. I hope it works out. And who am I to complain? I hope when it comes to WBI's budget review that what once was highly scrutinized might be less highly scrutinized going forward, you know, now that we have a more favored situation, apparently.
I want you to know, James, I highly scrutinized this budget at KPFK.
We would never not include major donor income. That's just bequests, no. Because you can't right. guarantee, you know, and even if you know that a bequest is coming in because you've met with that person before they passed away, you helped them set up their will, you've stewarded them this whole time, you know, keeping them informed, things can change at the last minute. And even if they don't change, I think we have three bequests that are now under scrutiny, dealing with depositions with one of them all day today and yesterday. So there's still, you know, we don't put in those bequests. Major donors, yes. And that's part of the, and that's just part of the nonprofit world. You have to guesstimate out of the major donors that you talk to, how many do you think will commit for this upcoming year? You know, and I know that just last year they had at least, well, they had one donor that gave 25,000, another donor that gave, I think, 50,000, another that gave 15,000. So the donors are there and we're still having conversations with them, meeting with them, informing them as to what's going on. And again, we can't count on their money, but we hope that with good cultivation and, showing that we're trying to make changes, we would put that money in there. We just want to make sure that we keep track of who's a major donor, listener support, you know, and not kind of clump it all into one thing.
Oh, we hope for the best at all of our stations.
And
thank you.
Absolutely. And James, I, with you, when I saw that $42,000 thing and then the further one further down, telemarketing, $28,000, I thought, Jesus, that's at 1.5 people that we can employ.
Right. Right.
It was a lot of dollars that I was not happy to see, but I was happy to see that the budget actually was somewhat cash positive, perhaps. Okay, can we move the agenda?
Okay. I just wanted to point out, after we stripped out the bequest, the major donors were still 100,000.
Excellent. Linda, you've got your hand up. And you're muted.
Yes, thank you. Stephanie, I saw that the credit card expense was, I think, projected to be 18,000, and the listener support is 1.1 million. What is the credit card expense? What do they just charge us 3%? Is that what how this is budgeted?
I can hand that over to Markeisha if she'd like to answer that, because she deals with those a bit more often. A lot of it is determined upon how many individual credit card payments are being made.
So that's part of it. It's not a flat rate. We're charged more money. If a card is manually entered, we're charged less if it's a swiped card. And that, as you know, most of our cards are manually entered, so that's a problem. But yeah, it's not a flat rate, and it's not universal against all stations, hence the reason why we talked about centralizing that information so that we could get a lower rate for volume. But it's based on volume, number of cards, number of transactions per month, stuff like that.
Okay, I looked at some of the other stations in the past, and the numbers were, you know, all over the place, really. But I saw that KPFT's was like 2.96%, I think, in 2024, fiscal year 2024. And I think 3 is what the people are starting to charge me, you know, if you use your credit card, 3% more.
Yeah.
So I just looked at that. I can't remember what that came out to, maybe 1.7%. And of course, I know that, you know, not all the listener support comes through credit cards. It could come through checks or people drop off cash and things like that. But
well, thank you, Lyndon. Myla's got her hand up. Ms. Reason?
Thank you, Mr. Cosworth.
You're welcome.
When Maggie Lepeek and Ace Estwick joined us to talk about the KPFK budget, we were told that Ace had been finding hidden costs that that were saving the station a lot of money. But when Mr. Foley asked if we could learn some specifics regarding that extraordinary news, Ace said that he was not prepared at that time to provide us with the specifics in terms of the savings that he was able to provide to KPFK by ferreting out some bills or costs or something like that. And I'm wondering, did we ever get that specific information? And do you, Stephanie or Markeisha, do you have any knowledge of some of those savings that were brought about by the in-depth sleuthing that Mr. Estwick performed for the station?
The majority of that was dealing with phone services, as James had brought up earlier. And again, there's, I think, three separate phone companies that are dealing with the phones at KPFK. And one is a company that has contracts with other stations as well. And so we're looking to try to get greater detail as to why do we have this relationship with this vendor? Can we see the contract? Can we renegotiate the contract? And if need be, to remove that vendor, do we have the ability to do that? And will that damage any sort of relationship with any other station? So most of it is phone. And then some other minor things, but, you know, trying to work with mailing companies, meaning multiples, you know, everybody has a different constant contact account or a different MailChimp account. And we've been trying to, Markeisha has been contacting everybody to ask, you know, who do you use for mass mailings? Let's put that all together as one. Google, you know, so the KPFK has a Microsoft account that they don't even know how to use. And we're paying for that on a regular basis. And we're needing to move that over to Google. But then the Google suite that is being used, one of the stations started it on their own using the Pacifica 501c3 number. And so then when you go to Google to try to get another one, they say, no, there's one that already exists, but it really isn't technically Pacifica. So we have to kind of combine that all together to be one. Yeah. So he keeps me abreast.
Oh, good. And following just on another note, I'm trying to remember where I learned that there had been a business manager, a former business manager at KPFK, Barry, I believe his last name was Bond, but I don't recall off the top of my head. And apparently he had set up an account for KPFK that had kind of gotten lost in the haze, and you've recovered, I believe, $90,000 from that account. Is that correct?
Yes, I do not know who started that account, so I can't verify that. Okay. But there was a random donation a random deposit that hit the KPFK account that was a little over $91,000. So we immediately asked, Markeisha and I reached out to the membership department and the general manager to ask, where did this come from? So if there's, you know, paperwork that we can have to follow up, whether it's from one major donor, but since the dollar amount was like $91,147 or something like that, don't quote me on it, but it was close. Was it a bequest? Was it a sponsorship? Where's the paperwork that, so we can follow up on it? No one knew where it came from. So to be on a safe side, we pulled that money out and put it in a restricted account at our bank, because we have a bunch of accounts with the bank, but then we also have three or four that are just blank that are part of the deal that we have with them. So if a station is moving, they can put their money in that. If they're doing a special fund drive, they can put the money in that, just so we have something that's separated. And in case it wasn't dollars that were meant for KPFK or even meant for Pacifica, we didn't want it to be spent, or if it was a fraud or whatever. So then doing greater research as to what it came, and I reported this, I believe, in August to this committee just briefly. But again, ACE started digging into it for us because the membership department didn't quite know what it was. And it ended up that it was $91,000 from a Stripe account. So we knew that there was one Stripe account that a former general manager had started last year. And so but we didn't have complete access to it, but that's a whole other story. But once we went into it and looked at that account had never received any donations at all. So that account had been closed. We closed it out. It was a very inactive account. But then as we dug even further, there was a prior Stripe account, and that was started quite a few years ago, but it had become outdated, meaning nobody had updated the information or the contact information. And again, that's one of those ongoing problems when people at various stations start something with a vendor and they don't get the national office involved. Not that we want to control everything, but it just helps keep things in an orderly fashion when individuals may leave the company. So anyway, that Stripe account, because it didn't have any information, they decided we're just going to close it and transfer all the money to you. And again, upon deeper digging, it ended up being over 4,000 donations that were recurring donors. And so we have a list of all of those donors. We have a list of all of the donations, and the money was then pulled from that restricted account and returned back to KPFK.
Can I ask, did you say Strike, S-T-R-I-K-E?
Right. S-T-R-I-P-E. Right.
And what do you mean by that? What is the Stripe account?
It is a fundraising site of some kind, yeah, where like people can make donations. Yeah, go ahead, Markeisha. You know more about it than I do.
Basically, it's a credit card processor. You don't have to get you can skirt the bank and go directly to use this vendor for credit card processing at a higher rate, though, for sure. Even higher than the regular bank rate. But you don't have to have a bank account with them.
So Stripe is the name of the entity that processes these donations. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And lots of times, you could donate to any type of organization and they could be using Stripe. So it's not unheard of to use them. But you don't know that they're using Stripe, basically.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Steve, Kakala, and then I really want to close this because we are now at 6:47. So Steve, you're the last one.
I just wanted to point out, I detailed that particular item in my review. It shows the dates that these transfers went back and forth between the national office and KPFK and the account name.
Great. Let's go to the next budget.
Do you see the budget on the screen, or do I need to reshare?
We can see it.
Okay, perfect. Markeisha will talk us through this one, and I will move it along, or move the little thing for her.
Thank you.
All right. So, we only did as customary, we usually only do about a 10% increase for revenue, year over year when we do budgets. So, if you look at KPFT's budget and their projected amounts for 2025, currently we're projected to end at 930 at 600 and I'll just round $20,000. And so for 26, we budgeted conservatively at $670,000, which I'm sure we won't have a problem getting to. There's some major donor money budgeted as well. Again, we try to base that on previous donations. It's hard to tell with major donors. I don't know if this has been said before, but when we enter that information into the system as it comes, if the person doesn't give us the $1,000 at one time, they're not necessarily classified as a major donor. And so then we don't necessarily know they're the major donor until we're like pulling reports for the audit or pulling reports for the tax return when we do a report based on, cause they ask specifically for those numbers, who's giving you over 1,000. The main threshold is over 1,000, I mean, over 5,000, for most organizations, but for, Pacifica, I think we've lowered ours to 1,000. Card donations, have not been as high, probably because people are holding on to their cars now. But we budgeted about $8,000 for that as well. Community events, there were a couple of events at KPFT last year, and Sandy has informed me that they're planning for another big one. He was trying to get some, he was trying to secure an artist for that one, that he was wanting to do, get, I guess, do tickets during the pledge drive that's going on now. So I don't know if he ever did that, but we are budgeting for about 10 grand on that. And I think that's low, depending on who the artist is. We moved down a little bit, personnel cost, up until August, there was only one, full-time staff member at KPFT. Now they have increased it to 3 full-time staff members, all of which are being very underpaid. But if you look, you see we only budgeted for about $165,000 for 3 full-time staff members who are working way more than 40 hours a week, by the way. Admin expenses staying pretty regular at $77,000. Program expenses, $211,000. Most of the programming is related to tower rents. In Houston, the tower rent goes up every year 5%. So that's accounted for in there. There are also the cost of our ratings, a few other things I can't think of right off. The cost of the service we use to help with automation. Things like that. Also, the cost of having the board operators falls into there. Most of them are consultants as well, and they fall up under the programming expense. Development expense as well is of course, the service that we use that help answer our phones, the cost of the software, which is our donor database software. There's also the cost of our development person that falls in there. That's a consultant as well. So those are all various mailing expenses, the cost of mail outs, pledge renewals, renewal letters, tax letters, all of that falls into the development expense line. And then, of course, there's the community events expense, which is the fees or whatever is involved when we put on an event. If we're paying for a venue, if we're having to pay for sound, if we have to pay for food, if we have to pay for security, that goes into this special events column. And we budgeted only about $3,500 because we try to get a lot of that stuff donated. Central services number has stayed pretty constant. KPFT had went for a while without paying for central services, and they've been paying regularly now for the last, I would say, 3 years, I guess. Been paying rent, but there was a stint where they didn't pay for maybe 3 years as well. So we did, that number's the same. Keep going. So we, our bottom line, we are at a positive $14,000 with all of that said. So I think that's pretty good that we're in the black. Are there any questions? I don't see any.
Lyndon has a question.
Okay. Yeah, I muted myself. Unfortunately, I was talking away and nobody could hear me. I see Lyndon's hand up. Lyndon, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Markeisha.
Hi, Lyndon.
You know, back to the first time I was treasurer and let me go talk to some banks about lowering our banking expense. And it was, I think it got short by COVID. And I saw it was a difficult job. But anyway, I thought that I've been asking this question now for about 6 months, and what I thought with the Pacifica Foundation getting all the bank or all the different units to bank under one company, that we would see our bank expenses lowered, and I haven't seen that, and I keep asking why, and I haven't got an answer yet. Can somebody answer that question? What are we paying monthly? Is what I see in there, like, you know, $1,200 a month, is that our monthly banking expense? And why is KPFK, I think, who we just did, their monthly banking expense is $300?
So with KPFK is with Bank of America. There are three stations, national office, the affiliates, all are with the with B of A. And the banking fee for all of the accounts is charged to the national office. So it doesn't hit KPFK's account.
Well, it says that you're in the budget, it says there's $300 a month.
So $300 a month is not for banking. I'm not sure. I'd have to look and see what that $300 is.
Okay.
But the banking fees are all coming out of the national office account for anybody that banks with Bank of America, because it's the parent account. So,
right. So I, then Stephanie, maybe you can answer this. I was, had an assumption, so I made an ass of myself. I thought that, in all this conversation about who had not moved their banking, I thought it was just the people in Berkeley. And nobody bothered to, you know, inform us that it was also KPFT.
We're still in the process of moving things over for KPFT. We do have an account for KPFT, and they're transferring funds over there. There's just been a bit of delay in working with them and doing that.
Anything else, Lyndon?
Well, I did look at the other units, and the other units do have some expenses on the interest/bank charges line.
I can't really speak to exactly which one is. I mean, there are seven units. To tell you exactly what's coming out, what the expense is for each one of those, but I'll get back to you on that. I mean, there are still, we pay for, like Stripe, there's also a service that we use to help process our EFT, a third party processor that we use to pay for EFT services. So there's a fee associated with that. But that's a couple of $100 a month. So it would be more than the 300. So I'd have to look.
Well, you know, I see that, the consolidated was about $7,000 a month, and, the national office was taking 3,300 of that, and KPFK, last year, this is, I guess, 2024 numbers, paying 1,300 a month. BAI 572, PFW 520, and so on. And, you know, so still KPFT was at, you know, 1100 or something. So I just kept asking, why are we paying these when it seems like at least other people are paying 500 or even 800. So, but I think that, I had no idea that we hadn't bothered to move the KPFT banking over to with everybody else's.
Well, it's not like night and day that we can just go to the bank and close it. We have lock boxes.
Right.
We have all of these services set up where we have positive pay, fraud manager, all that kind of stuff. So it's not just going there and saying, hey, close this account. There's a lot of stuff that's got to get moved. Reprint it, change of address, where people are sending their payments to, the lockbox, we have to get all that set up. So it's not that it's not happening. It's just a slow
Are we going to get out of the lockbox? Because I remember that was like $500 a month when that cost us.
That's an internal control. That's recommended by the auditors. Every station should be using a lockbox. So if they're not, they will be. So no, that we're not getting out of that.
Okay,
we should not be receiving any checks at any stations.
Right. Okay. But it doesn't appear, I mean, from the numbers, I guess there's some other stations that do not have lockboxes. Is that correct?
Correct. There are. And like I say, they're getting checks at the stations. We don't know what we don't know. We don't know what's not getting
to us. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the reasons too, that we are trying to get everything centralized. And again, it's not that there's, you know, we're not here to take over at the national office level. We just want to make sure that we have all the information that we need rather than somebody calling and saying, oh, I have like 15 checks on my desk that I forgot about, you know, mm-hmm. or something that's tucked under a pile of papers that we weren't aware was there. And then some of the stations, even when we were meeting with them, weren't aware that, well, we don't want to use the lockbox because we want to know all the donations. Well, you get copies of all of that. You know, once everything gets to the lockbox, you get a copy of every single check that came through so you can write those thank you notes. So it's just, you know, helping the stations understand a banking process and best practices, and then making sure that they're comfortable in that we're here just to help them make this whole process much easier.
Their life easier for sure. Okay. Any more? James Sagerton.
Mr. Sagerton, your hands up.
Yes, thank you. A couple things. One is I want to say that there is an element of taking over when you transfer all the banking, you know, to one location and the national office takes over the ability or the order in which to pay the outstanding bills. I think also that, it was not really anticipated, at least I didn't anticipate this, and I think people were paying close attention at the time when we were talking about transitioning to one bank. It was a reason given that we would save some money on fees, but I don't think it was ever really considered to be like a major savings, and that was like a primary reason we were doing it. I think the reason we were doing it, at least that we were given for doing it, and, you know, I accepted, was to get an understanding of where we stand. What accounts do we have? What accounts don't we have? Which kind of brings up another question, which is not on this particular budget, but on a prior budget, the other budget we discussed, and I have KPFK. There's still a very large credit card bill. And I can remember that credit cards were canceled at WBAI. I don't know about other stations, but we were forbidden to have a credit card, even for things like, you know, petty cash, which, you know, was buying toilet paper. We had complaints that there was no toilet paper at the station. So, and that was then loosened up. And so I think we now have a credit card, but credit card expense for KPFK, I think it is still quite high. And I'm a little concerned about that. But, anyway, yeah, so there's just a couple of things that I recall as how things were anticipated to go.
When you say credit card expense, no station has a credit card, so I'm not sure what you're referring to.
I think that's the processing expense. That's a 3%.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's we don't have actual credit cards. Yeah,
standing debt from a card.
Say that again, James.
I thought you said that. I recall seeing it. It was kind of a large number, but maybe I misread it. I thought there was a credit card expense at KPFK, and maybe that's on a prior. I remember at one time they were paying their electric bill with a credit card. Maybe that was that. That's what that was.
I'm looking at that right now. It's under development expenses, credit card discount fee, and it's $12,338.
Yeah, that's the cost to take, be able to accept credit cards.
That's not a credit card. That's the cost of taking credit cards, as Mark Keisher spoke of earlier.
Yeah, got it. Thank you.
Okay, I want to actually affirm a little bit of what James Haggerton said, and somewhat disagree. If there is a liability that any station engages in developing a liability, then at the end of the day, the P&O is responsible. And I think that that's the P&O owns every station. The P&O is responsible for everything that we sign up for, whether we know we've signed up for it or not. I think that a better word instead of control is consolidation. But, you know, I'm actually okay with control, because in the past, I have seen that there has been no control and it's cost us millions and millions of dollars. And so I really look forward to seeing, for example, these budget sheets should all be the same. You should have the same things in every budget state. And if every station doesn't use that, then that particular line item, that's fine, you know, but we should all be able to compare them across the board, because that's how we can do our job best, by looking at these things and saying, well, you know, scratch my head, that doesn't make any sense. So I do want to thank you all for the work that you've done. I see Susan's got her hand up, and then I want to move on, close out this and move on to the next budget. Susan, can I have your, can you, go ahead. You're muted there. Muted.
We have just dealt with two budgets. I think they're the two that we're dealing with tonight.
Oh, good.
And damn. So I would and I think we have dealt with two previously, but I would sort of like to make sure we're ratified, so that when there's a presentation, when there's a report from the Finance Committee at the November PMB meeting, that we have the budgets ready for the PNB to consider. So yes. I'm going to make one motion after another. The first motion is to approve the KPFT budget to be sent forward for consideration by the National Board.
Can I hear a second?
There are no seconds needed.
Yeah, great.
One second. Should that be the FY26 budget? I think you need to
see. Yes, absolutely, R. Paul. Thank you for the clarification.
So hearing no objection, that passes. Well, I haven't heard any objections, so agreed. Susan, you had another motion you wanted to make?
The second one is, and with R. Paul's clarification, I hope I'll do this better. I move that the NFC approve the FY 2026 KPFK budget to forward to the PNB for consideration.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, that those moved to the PNB.
And I would also like to just confirm that the NFC previously approved the WPFW and affiliates budgets to be sent forward to the FY 2026 to be sent forward to the PNB for consideration.
Michael Woodson would speak to that because he was the chair at that meeting.
Yes, we got approval on that last meeting.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And is there any objection to those two motions? Hearing none, it's, even Steve Kukala likes it. Hearing none, we, so moved all four budgets to the PNB. Not going to hear a motion to adjourn. Or so is there any other business that we want to deal with or need to deal with?
We have some motions on the agenda.
Okay. That was the Steve Kukala motion. Is there a second?
No second needed.
Okay. Is there discussion?
Point of information.
Yes, ma'am.
Would it be possible for Steve or someone to read it so we have it in our minds right now?
Steve, do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
Sure, I'll read it.
Please.
make sure my mic's on.
Your mic's on.
Okay. The NFC during its annual budget review will assess each station for its compliance with the following bylaw requirement. Facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations, end of parentheses. For the NFC, self-sustaining as possible will be defined as a station with total revenue sufficient to support all station operating expenses, plus a minimum additional 8% of revenue or the equivalent. Oh, my computer just reserved for the national office support. The NFC will report this assessment of the station when it reports out the station budget to the PNB. And that's just to give the PNB a heads up if there's a stressed budget. So they may want to do a little more exploration of, but they expect us to do that first. So we just let them know when we see a problem.
And for your general information, Akio sent that to all of the members currently on the screen today and the NFC as well. So does anyone care to speak to that motion?
I would like to.
Okay. Susan Young, please.
In my mind, I think the motion is helpful and clear. However, I believe that the current central services assessment is 15% of revenues that do not include grants or major donors. I think that that is where we are. And so I don't know what Steve's thinking is on that.
Well, I did send out a little document. Basically, the NFC has decided that quote unquote stress stations could pay a reduced rate of 8%. So I wanted to reflect previous NFC policy in this so what it comes down to as near self-sufficient, you know, as nearly possible or something like that. I have to get the language back up is at 8%. Fully self-sufficient is paying 15%. So one at 8% is nearly possible. Fully self-sufficient is 15%. Unless we change those numbers. But that's the current policy stuff that I found from the NFC.
And Steve's motion, it says a minimum. It doesn't say a maximum or a required. It's a minimum, and I guess we have the right, it would seem to me, to change that as we wish. Miley, your hand's up. And, oh, wait, Stephanie, let's let the ED get a word in.
Yeah, Stephanie. Just a quick comment is that even if a station is, you know, is paying a reduced amount because we are accrual accounting, just a reminder is that it would still show up in the expense line item as the full amount.
And the full amount is 15%.
Correct.
That would not be terrible to put that into that motion. Anyone want to make that No, you don't. I see Susan's giving me scowls. I'm going to leave it alone. Myla, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that because of our new revised bylaws, that, and since technically Mr. Kukala, although he is the treasurer at KPFA, is not a member of this committee, that I would like to stand in as the sponsor of this motion.
I agree with that. That's absolutely correct. Susan, you've got your hand up and you're wiggling your fingers.
Yeah. So the NFC adopts sort of like two types of motions. One is a motion that guides our policies for the committee. And another where we are recommending a policy to be adopted by the PNB. I think of this as being appropriate to be a policy adopted for the NFC rather than one we're saying, we're asking the PNB to adopt. And it's in the context of, if you will, we had set up kind of an early warning system that we weren't able to follow through on completely when there were stations that were in big, big trouble, to meet frequently to hear from station management what were they doing to pay the bills. We're fortunate that all the stations, to a greater or lesser degree, have managed to stabilize. And so I don't think we have the same urgency. But nevertheless, I think that Steve Kukala / Myla's motion is a helpful guardrail for us to provide for ourselves, if you will, about assessing stations on an ongoing basis. So I'm not seconding. I support adopting the motion, even with the 8%, because I think it's sort of an early warning system.
And that we have no actual ability or organization that actually keeps track of these motions, then all this is an exercise in, I won't say futility, but it's an exercise in hopefulness. Myla?
Yeah, can I just say that what we do have is we have minutes of that include these motions, the record of these motions that can be found and live on kpfgx.org. However, that being said, I think that it would be really helpful at some point if we had the if we had enough volunteer time and effort to actually compile previous motions passed at various committees in one place, rather than people having to search through previous minutes from previous meetings. I've done quite a lot of that myself, and it's not the most efficient of systems.
I totally hear what you have to say. And as the chair of the governance committee, we tried that and it was an abject failure. Everybody wanted to do it. Nobody wanted to actually do the work, but that notwithstanding, it goes into the record. Our Paul, you're muted.
Yeah. Okay. Here I am. Last I looked, I'm not seeing the approved minutes up on kpftx.org. So it would probably be good if those went up there. And if you look at them, there's a summary of motions sometimes, but not all motions are completely in minutes as far as I can see. So well, I just pointed that out. Should be up on kpftx.
Akio, to incorporate this into the minutes that are subsequently approved. I really look at the clock at 7:17 and I really want to be done with this. So can we vote on this and then call for adjournment?
Are there any objections?
Any objections?
Chair, may I be recognized?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to abstain on this.
Then we're going to have to call the roll unless there are any other people who want to abstain. So if there's no other people that want to abstain, we can say it passed with Mr. Sagerton's abstention.
Okay.
Okay. Can I hear a
motion to adjourn?
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. Any objection? Well, guys, we did a lot of work today.
Are we doing an executive session?
Not at all. It wasn't called, so we're not going to do it. You and I talked about this, Steve, and all these things about the checks, which would have gone into the executive session, were to be sent to the responsible party for them to respond. And we didn't call for an executive session.
Just like Stephanie, I had a lot of emails. I'm sure I got them confused. But
did we have a lot of emails?
Some of us.
Okay.
Next meeting, executive session, October 28th.
Stephanie, thank you so much for doing an excellent job.
And Markeisha, thank you. Thank you, Markeisha.
None of this would happen without Markeisha's guidance and knowledge.
And we give her all of our love. And this is, guys, thank we you. Have actually done something pretty remarkable in the last 2 years. And, every one of you actually played a role in making that happen. And I really, really appreciate working with all of you on these goals that will actually save the network and possibly America. Come on, Lyndon, it's possible.
Kumbaya, my Lord.
That, I'm out.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.
I'm out of here. I'm hungry.
Me too.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.